We turn again, please, to 1 Corinthians, chapter 11. 1 Corinthians, chapter 11, verse 8. For the man is not of the woman, but the woman of the man. Neither was the man created for the woman, but the woman for the man. For this cause, not the woman to have power, authority on her head because of the angels. Nevertheless, neither is the man without the woman, neither the woman without the man in the Lord. Now turn to 2 Kings, please, chapter 4. Second Kings, chapter 4, and we'll break in at verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, and there was a great woman. Where was a great woman? And she constrained him to eat bread, and so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. And she said unto her husband, Behold, now I perceive that this is a holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed, a table, a stool, and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in hither. And it fell on a day that he came hither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. And he sent unto Gehazi his servant, called a Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, Say now unto her, Behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? Wouldst thou be spoken to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among mine own people. And he said, What then is to be done for her? Gehazi answered, Verily she hath no child, and her husband is old. And he said, Call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. And he said, About this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, Nay, my lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thy handmaid. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elijah had said unto her, according to the time of life. When the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. He said unto his father, My head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon, and then died. She went up, laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. She called unto her husband, and said, Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that he may return to the man of God and come again, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, Well, it shall be well. Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, Drive, go forward, select not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. Came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said unto Gehazi his servant, Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, It is well. And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. The Lord hath hid it from me and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins and take thy staff in thy hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. Gehazi passed on before them, laid the staff upon the face of the child, but there was neither voice nor hearing. Wherefore he went again to meet him and told him, saying, "The child is not awaked." Then Elisha was come into the house. Behold, the child was dead and laid upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain, that is the two of them. And he prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child, and put his mouth upon his mouth, and his eyes upon his eyes, and hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. And he returned and walked in the house to and fro, and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times. The child opened his eyes, and he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her, and when she was come in unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." And she went in and fell at his feet and bowed unto the ground, took up her son, and went out. Now look at chapter 8. In verse 1, "Then spake Elisha unto the woman, whose son he had restored to life, saying, 'Arise, go thou and thine household, and sojourn wheresoever thou canst sojourn, for the Lord hath called for a famine. And it shall also come upon the land 7 years.' And the woman arose and did after the saying of the man of God, and she went in with her household and sojourned in the land of the Philistine 7 years." Now I trust God will bless to us his word that we've listened to already and what we have read from today. What I have upon my heart, it's been a burden for some time, is to speak about the importance of women, our sisters, in the assembly of God. We need our sisters. We cannot get along without them. And it's God's order that our sisters be very prominent in the assembly of God. I'd like you to notice with me the place that God has given the woman in 1 Corinthians chapter 11. I'm sure we're very familiar with this passage. This is a place of subjection. It's a place where they are teaching angels as they look down upon our gathering, even this afternoon, with the woman's head covered and her long hair. The picture of subjection, angels are learning by our sisters the plan of God in connection with the local assembly. That as the church is subject to the Lord in everything, so the wives subject to their husbands. So it's very precious to see the importance of assembly of women in our assembly lives. I'd like you to notice that when it comes to the natural thing, we are all dependent upon a woman. Eve was the mother of all living. And so we all date our history back to a woman. And so in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, neither is the woman without the man, neither the man without the woman. In the Lord, God sees them all together in the Lord. And so I'd like you to notice the importance that God placed upon women, first of all in the Old Testament. We read in the book of Judges, chapter 5, of a woman called Deborah. She was called a mother in Israel. When there was failure on Balak's part, God raised up a woman. She was called a mother in Israel, and she did the work that God had given a man to do, but she stood up and made up the hedge that time, and God used her mightily in Israel. We've been hearing about Hannah. That was a woman who was exercised. In a moment. But I'd like you to notice that God's order is the importance of women throughout the Scripture. It was a woman that God raised up to be the vessel through which the Lord Jesus would come into this world, Mary the Virgin. And thank God, God used her mightily. It was this woman that God not only used to bring in the Lord Jesus, but Mary had great perception that we read of in John chapter 2, as at that marriage feast, she said to the servants, "Whatsoever he saith unto thee, do it." You can just imagine how Mary watched as that blessed person developed in her household. She saw things that others didn't see. She saw this. Whatever he says is going to happen. And whatever he says, do it. And Mary had that confidence in what the Lord Jesus was after, able to do. Her perception was great. Thank God for the perception of women among us. Women ministered to the Lord of their substance, we read of in Acts and Luke chapter 8. Thank God it was women that did this. They had a great part in the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus. Now, there were women like Mary and Martha that had a great part in the place of the Lord Jesus. Martha and Mary. Mary sat at his feet. Martha served. Martha had that place of privilege of serving the Lord, and it was Mary that broke the alabaster box on his ointment and filled the house with the odor of his ointment. It wasn't a man that did this. It was women that did it for the Lord. Get a hold of this, brethren. Stand back and look at this in wonder. God has a purpose, and he's used women for his own purpose and glory in these passages that we referred to. Women were there at the scenes of the cross. We've been hearing of this already. Who was it that wept when the Lord Jesus was on his way to Calvary? Daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. Not the men that wept. It was the women that wept. It was the women that were present when the Lord Jesus was taken down from the cross. They saw where he was laid. It was the women that were present when they went to the tomb. Mary Magdalene there, and she saw what was happening. It was a woman to whom the first witness of the resurrection was given. Not a man, a woman. God raised up Mary Magdalene. "Go and tell my disciples," and Peter, who wouldn't believe her, but she was a woman. I think of the women that were in the upper room with the Lord Jesus during the time when they met in the upper room previous to the day of Pentecost. Prayer and supplication was made. In Acts chapter 1, women were there, Mary among them. It was a place of privilege. The women were there. Think of women that were added to the assembly testimony in Acts chapter 5, multitudes of men and women. It was a woman called Dorcas that was full of good works that we read of, and Peter raised her from the dead in Acts chapter 9. And she was a great woman there. There was a woman called Rhoda that carried the message of Peter into that prayer meeting that surprised them all. You know the story. It was a young woman called Rhoda that did that. It was a Lydia in Acts chapter 16 that God opened her heart and God used this woman mightily. It was a woman that was used of God. And her hospitality was great. First convert in Europe. She was a woman. There was Priscilla and Aquila, a couple that were used of God. But Priscilla especially, and Aquila. Priscilla and Aquila used of God. They took that man aside and expounded unto him the way of God more perfectly. It was a woman in the home that did this. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, we have the woman's place in the assembly is a very precious place, invaluable when it comes to the assembly of God. We need our sisters. It's the women that are mentioned in that in Titus chapter 2, women, that aged women that would be teachers of good things. We need our older women to be teachers of the young. We need our young women to listen to our older sisters as they teach the way of God to them. They're the wives of the elders that we read of in Timothy, 1 Timothy. Thank God for them. Wives that stood behind their husbands in the oversight in the assembly. Many a man that stands for God in the assembly owes their background to a faithful partner. Some of our brethren that here know this. It wasn't for your wife, you wouldn't be the man you are today. And you, brethren, will only be as godly as your wife will let you be. You see the influence that godly sisters have upon their husbands. Likewise, the deacons' wives. And what an important place they play in the lives of the deacons. I think of the important place that we read of in 1 Peter chapter 3, that hidden man of the heart, that adornment that we read of in connection with our dear sisters. Let it not be that outward, but the inward adornment of the hidden man of the heart, which in the sight of God is of great price. Who can put a price upon the adornment that God sees in the hearts and the spirits of our dear sisters? Then there's the picture of the bride of Christ in Revelation chapter 19, and that bride is adorned with a garment, the acts of the righteous acts of saints. God has this down in the future, that even the bride of Christ is pictured here, clothed in a garment of her own providing. So God has a great plan and purpose for us in connection with the place that God has for women in our local assembly. I'm looking over our audience today and over this conference, as I noticed yesterday. I thank God for the women that are among us. Thank God for our younger sisters that are here. God has a great plan and purpose for you. I hope you won't think that you're left out in the ministry that you heard of yesterday. We heard last night good practical ministry in connection with a husband's love for their wives. Here, God would place a high importance upon your presence in the local assembly. And so with this in view, let's look now at this woman that we've read of in 2 Kings chapter 4. When God calls a woman in the Old Testament a great woman or a noble woman, she is just that, a great woman. And thank God there are great women among us today. And notice what characterized this great woman, this woman of Shunem. We've read this chapter. May the God help us to appreciate this woman and seek to emulate some of the characteristics we see in her. First thing we notice that this great woman was a woman of great hospitality. Now it was up to the woman in this home to be the mover, and she was the source of the hospitality. Thank God for women among us today, and you know as well as I do that they're the ones behind the hospitality in our homes. We thank God for women who are exercised to be hospitable. We all have felt it deeply. We appreciate it deeply, the hospitality that we find among the Lord's people. And it's the women that are behind it. I'd like you to notice that this woman in 1 Kings chapter 4 was a woman of great perception. It wasn't the husband that said, "This is a man of God." She said, "I perceive that this is a man of God." So often, women have a greater perception of godliness than men do. So listen to your wives. Sometimes they have better perception than we do, brother. They're able to see through things perhaps clearer. This woman was a woman of great persuasion. It was she that said to her husband, "Let us build us a room on our house, in the side of our house, for this man of God." She moved in the family. Often, the woman behind the scenes is the mover when it comes to doing things for God. Sisters, you have an important place in that marriage of yours, as this woman did. She was the one who persuaded her husband to do this. So when it comes to the things of God, you have a great place to persuade your husband to do things for God. Perhaps the question is going to come, will we go to a certain place or conference? Will we attend? And behind the scenes, you're going to say, "Yes, let's go." You're going to be the power behind it that moves a woman's power in the marriage. Then I'd like you to notice the great accommodation that this woman was behind. She said, "Let us make us a little chamber." You know, it was just a little chamber, but that little chamber became a great chamber because of the exercise of this woman for God. And so what a wonderful thing it is to have a woman exercise to make a little chamber in your house for God. Sisters, I know many of you have done this. You have a room set aside for the Lord's people. And mind you, it'll always be a blessing to you, just as it was to this woman. I think of her care. You know, it's only women that could think of this. Why, that man's going to need a bed. Yeah, he's going to need a bed. And he's going to need a table. And he's going to need a stool. And he's going to need a candlestick. This was the woman that was behind this. Not the man. He's standing by there, scratching his head likely. And standing back and watching her plan things. Brethren, stand back. Often you'll learn a lesson as you'll watch your wife plan things for God. You see, this woman was a great woman in connection with her care. This woman was a great woman because of her humility. Why, Elisha sent Gehazi to say to her one day, "What shall be done for you because of all that you have done for us? Would you want me to speak to you for the king, to the king?" And she said, "No, I dwell among mine own people. I just want to be out of the limelight. I'm not looking for reward. I'm doing this for God." And so what a wonderful thing it is to see women among us that aren't looking for the limelight. But you know what? God is looking down on their life, and they have the stamp of God's approval upon them. This was the case of this great woman in Shunem. I'd like you to notice this woman's great desire. It was a secret desire. It wasn't apparent, but Gehazi could tell when Elisha asked what should be done for this woman. It was Gehazi said, "Do you not know that she doesn't have a son?" And read the passage and you'll find it was a secret desire of this woman to have a son for God. We've heard about this already. Fruitfulness. She wanted to have a son. Every married woman wanted to have a son for God. And so it was her secret desire, and it was a natural instinct for her. And this woman had a great promise from the man of God, and the promise was one day she was going to have a son. And this woman lived to see the fulfillment of that as she embraced a son. And what an answer it was to have a son after all these years that she had waited. We think of our sisters among us and thank God for those who have looked to God for to have a son that they might raise them like Hannah did for the Lord. I think of the great trial that came into this woman's life. Only a mother can understand this. The father didn't. It was in the middle of the day that the son said, "My head, my head," and the father said to the servants, "Take him to his mother." You see, it's the mother's heart that's here. She sat with her son upon her knee for hours, and she nursed him until he died. Some of you have passed through trials of bereavement just recently. Can you enter into the heart of this woman? "The son that God has given me." Now, on her knees, she feels his life ebbing away. Talk about a trial. Many of the Lord's people are passing through trials. This woman felt it deeply. And it was a trial that she didn't even share with her husband. He was out in the field. She was alone in the house. Many a trial that the sisters face, and trials that they pass through that even their husbands can't enter into with them. This was a great woman of God. great trial. Like you notice this woman's great confidence. When this child died, she didn't first of all go out and tell her husband. First thing she did was took the child up to that little room on the wall. She laid the child on the bed of the man of God, closed the door, and went out. Her confidence, so precious here. May God help our sisters to have your confidence in God. I'd like you to notice this woman's great priority. She said to her husband, "Get me the servants ready and saddle me an ass, and I'm going. I'm going to the man of God." It was her top priority. Get me to the man of God. You see, in this woman's life, there was priority number one. That was, she knew where help would come from, and that was the man of God. Sisters, put priority first. Your priorities are going to affect others. And priority number one, as we've been hearing in our lives, would be to please God. That was the priority in this dear woman. You can just imagine now, she's traveling along and she says to the young men that are driving the animal, "Don't spare the horses for me. Get me as fast as you can to the man of God." She wanted to get there. Her faith is pictured here, and great tenacity of her faith as she finally gets to the man of God. And she falls at his feet. And she hangs on to the servant's feet. And because it was the man of God that said it in the first place, she would have a child. Now she's hanging on to his feet. And she's asked the question, "Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?" And she said, could you say it? "It is well." Is it any wonder that God calls this woman a great woman? She looked beyond her circumstances, and she had her confidence in God. I want you to think of the confidence of and the dependence of this great woman. Finally, Elisha gets back to the house. And Elisha finds out, yes, it's true, that child is dead. And so there's only two of them in the house, Elisha and the woman of Shunem. And they pray. Elisha prays. And she's there. She's entering into the problem and the difficulty as Elisha prays to God, "Oh God, give us the life of this child." I tell you, she entered into that prayer. Thank God for the prayers that God's people pray. Thank God for the exercise of godly sisters with our brethren when they pray. I'd like you to notice the patience of this dear woman. She watched while Elisha went up the stairs to that upper room. She didn't follow him. She waited below. She was waiting. She was still, scriptures tells. She was waiting to see what God would do. You know, there's a little verse in Psalm 46 And it says this, be still and know that I am God. Very difficult thing to do. You sisters know this. To be still amid a trial like this. To stay downstairs while something was happening upstairs. And to leave it in the hand of God. This is a great woman. This is what women are among us today. Thank God for them. Women that know what it is. To be still amid times of trial and wait for God to work. I want you to think of the great answer that this woman got. Can you follow Elisha up that stair? Can you see him laying upon that child, mouth to mouth, eye to eye, hand to hand, stretching himself out upon that child? What a picture. Brethren, you want to see some young souls reached and saved for the Savior. It's going to be hand contact. Not a distance, but here he lays himself upon the child. He does it once and he goes back again. What is it? He's seeing God at work. And after a while, that child sneezes. And he sneezes 7 times. Life! Where did it come from? God! And what a thing it was for Elisha now to come down and say to Gehazi, call this Shunammite. Didn't call her husband. Nor was this Shunammite. And he delivers unto that Shunammite her child. Tell you what a great woman this woman is. My wife and I were reading through this chapter the other day. We're thrilled at just seeing the great confidence this woman had. Then when she gets this answer, don't read of anything she says. And she falls at the prophet's feet. Sometimes words do not cut it. Sometimes the experience is beyond human expression. But we fall at his feet. After seeing the hand of God at work, brethren, what did this dear woman do? She just fell at his feet and worshiped God. That's the character of this great woman. Thank God for this great woman. What a lesson we learn from this woman.